live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust Intestine.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
Okay, now I have buzzing. I must, that VGA adapter that I have splitting my audio must be, what would that be, like not grounded or something? Anyway, it's buzzing in my ears. Oh well. This Hurricane Irma map you sent me is pretty cool. This is Google Maps.
Yeah, Google does crisis maps, I guess. And it's for the whole world, too. If you zoom out, you can see where there's, like, extreme events and stuff. Rain, earthquakes, advisories, things like that.
It looks like the world is ending.
Yeah, stuff. Well, at least in between United States and South America, it does.
Ignorance is bliss.
Three hurricanes. That Irma, that thing's massive. It's the size of Texas, if you look at it, scale.
It updates itself, too. This is pretty cool.
It's almost, I mean...
Google.org? The hell is this? I've never seen Google.org used. Have you ever been on a Google.org? It almost makes me think it's like fake.
Published by Google Crisis Response. It's at the bottom.
If they say so.
It looks like Google or Google Maps.
Yeah, anybody can get that API key. I'm sure this is Google. It's just weird coming off of a separate domain name.
Yeah.
Never seen that before. So next week is when all the cool stuff happens with the new iPhone announcement, and hopefully around that time 10.13 comes out.
It's Tuesday, right? Is the announcements?
Yeah.
They usually do it on Tuesdays.
Yep, the 12th.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be interesting. There's speculation that the iPhone 8... Well, they're going to have two phones. They're going to have the iPhone 8 or the iPhone whatever they end up calling it, the new one. And then they're going to have an iPhone 7S and a 7S Plus. And the speculation is that the 8 is kind of like out the gate, like not a failure, but like a misstep. And they're going to have problems right after launch. They're going to have tons of problems with it, and they're kind of expecting it, but they're going to launch it anyway. So I've been reading that kind of stuff, but
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. This is the most radical redesign or like radical update they've had for the iPhone so far.
Yeah.
And it's 100% dependent on being connected to the internet.
What do you mean?
For the facial recognition.
Why would that have to be connected to the internet?
How does it store that? Like, if it's not like a passcode, you know,
it stores it in RAM. So the permanent secret would be stored in, you'd still need a PIN to unlock after reboot. Or a password. Then it would store the hash of your face. The hash of your face, just like your password, would be stored in the secure element. Or secure enclave, whatever they call it now.
So is facial recognition going to be one form of authentication only for this device? Or do you think that's something they're going to move to their other devices?
I think...
Like the Mac and
eventually,
iPads?
Yeah. And I think eventually that facial recognition, whatever dedicated chip they come out with that, or come out for that, which will probably be another M series chip, that will probably be migrated to the Apple Watch so that the Apple Watch lights up whenever you look at it. So you don't need the fancy wrist twist anymore where it's like, oh, it failed, I have to do it again, or I have to push the button or tap the screen twice. And then the screen doesn't turn on unless you ever look at it. So that also means it has another way to authenticate that it's on your wrist. Because technically with an Apple Watch, I'm just leaping into the future with facial recognition. With the Apple Watch, right now, if you take it off and you slip it onto the other person's wrist, like a fucking Indiana Jones movie, it still thinks you're authenticated. But if you take it off and like a half second goes by and it goes on the other person's wrist, it no longer thinks it's you and it locks.
It's not even a half a second. It's instant, because when you take it off your wrist, the screen immediately goes off and then...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can swap it from one person to another without it locking. Try it sometime. Loosen up the band and then put the other person's hand on your hand and then just slide it across your skin. Never lift it. And it'll stay unlocked because it thinks it's still on you.
I don't think you can change the passcode. Like, someone's not going to be able to steal that, because I think you still need the original iPhone it was set up with to successfully change the passcode.
Yeah. Or they'd have to do like a somehow like a serial mode reboot over Bluetooth or something. Or reformat. You can reset the devices in like a some type of serial mode when you hook it up to iTunes. I don't know about the Apple Watch, though. I mean, it's got to have that. The thing I'm worried about is somebody can swipe the thing off your wrist, Indiana Jones style, and then have access to any credentials you've told 1Password to store in there, or LastPass, or another password manager.
I'm curious how the family sharing and all that stuff's going to work with the facial recognition. Is it just going to store all of those facial recognitions in RAM the same way? Like, let's say you got a family of five people all using the same iPad.
It would probably enroll them and hash them, just like the fingerprint scanner works.
But the fingerprint scanner is going to use much less RAM than the...
Well, it's not actually storing anything. It's storing a hash. It doesn't store an image of your fingerprint. It finds data points of your fingerprint, like on the image, maps them somehow, and through that creates a unique number that represents those data points. And anytime there's a match for that, the secure element allows it to pass. Using whatever their security API is. So I would assume it would just be the same framework for some cameras that are wide angle, whatever the rumor is. It's still weird to me. Because I walk around naked a lot. And then how does it know that you're holding it? I guess if somebody holds the phone in front of you, it's unlocked until they turn it toward them and then they look at it and then it locks again.
Or what if it's a 4K image of your face that someone holds up?
The rumors are that there's multiple cameras. So it's like got some type of depth map.
Okay.
Which would also help it fake the background blur for portrait mode. Which means even cooler computational photography photos. iOS 11 is going to be awesome. Because the camera app is going to do way more. You can point it at QR codes or point it at a document and it will scan it.
Are they going to finally have the long exposure?
Long exposure?
Or what is it called? Where it makes images look like they're moving all at once and it's just a single image. It's like it's
a live
people
photo?
Use it to shoot waterfall photos and stuff, and
yeah, that whatever that long, effect is, where they just animate the one section.
I thought it was called long exposure. What am I thinking of?
Time lapse.
No,
it's just somebody takes video, finds all the parts that are still, locks them in place, and then the motion part they put on a loop.
There's an app in the App Store that's pretty popular that does that. Slow Shutter, that's it. Yeah, okay.
It's a weird name for it.
Slow Shutter Speed Effects, so you get with a DSLR.
That's just lowering the shutter speed. It's not animated.
I'm not talking about animated. I'm talking about, like, that's what I thought it was called, long exposure shots, where it's, you take a picture and you just kind of leave the camera there for a minute, and then it creates an image. I guess it is recording, but it's only creating an image from that. So, like, you're shooting the waves or whatever, and it makes, like, a, you know, like, it's kind of blurred together, you know?
That's just a long exposure. But yeah, what you're talking about, the feature in iOS that will simulate that is, it's faking it using some type of effect. You've always been able to do a long exposure on the iPhone. I mean, at least since the 3GS. You can use any third-party app.
Yeah, with an app. So what I'm asking is that going to be built in now to the camera app, the Apple camera app?
They're not actually doing a long exposure with the Apple camera app. They're doing their normal photo, but they're taking a series or possibly even like video. And then this is my understanding of what we saw in the keynote, at least. The effect that you can add to an existing photo takes the contents of the live photo, takes any of the spots that were in motion, blurs them, it like smears them all together so it looks like it was streaking across the screen, and then the other parts are perfectly clear. So it could end up being better than a long exposure.
Huh, interesting.
Computational photography. Since every photo contains 30 FPS for like 2 seconds, a little bit, like 1 second before the shot, 1 second after the shot, it's rough. That gives them more data for their photo app to process the images to do different effects. So you could just have a nice photo, but maybe something weird happened before or after, and there's a looping option.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Did you ever use the Clips app that Apple came out with?
Yes.
2 months ago or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like a... it's kind of weird. It's like they're trying to rip off Snapchat a little bit with it. It feels weird. It doesn't feel like an Apple app when I've used it.
It feels very social media.
Feels very jank is what it feels like.
No, it works really good.
It works really good. But I'm saying it feels like a forced clone of, or their forced attempt at making something like Snapchat. It's contrived. I guess that's the right word for it.
It's a universal tool that works between any social media platform. Snapchat's thing only works in their platform. And it puts it into their system, which is completely designed around the ephemeral image gimmick. And technically those images are stored forever at Amazon. Part of the deduplication algorithm, so your dick pics are there forever.
Amazon owns Snapchat?
No, the whole business is built on Amazon's infrastructure.
Okay.
We went over this once. I told one of my Uber drivers, oh yeah, everything you put on Snapchat goes into Amazon S3, so it's stored forever, even though it says it's gone. It's part of their deduplication algorithm, so the next time you insert the same file, it only has to store it once. And the guy, his like face melted. So you know he put all kinds of dirty shit on there. That was like a year ago.
It's funny.
There was something I was going to say. Oh yeah, so Clips. I used it for the 4S package manager that I made. GitHub.com/4-S. And that... it's a package manager for aliases. Just you use all existing commands, chain them together, give it an alias, boom. So this is a simple alias downloader with some templated things that you put all your aliases in on your GitHub account, and then you use the 4S updater to update your custom aliases along with the ones that are built in. And I haven't added, I don't think I've added too many features to it yet, but at some point I'll have a simple command that you enter and it just builds out a mobile server for you in like 50 seconds, just instant mobile server. So you install 4S on Amazon, you install it on Vulture, any of those services, instant mobile server after, all from vanilla Amazon, their Linux distro or whatever distro you want, FreeBSD, whatever. I'm going to build it for each one, but I need other people contributing to it. So I use clips to create that video. When you're looking at the README file, I have these little animated GIFs that I was able to like zoom in on. First, I did a screen recording on my Mac. Then I airdropped it to my phone. I used clips to zoom in on the video because you can hold the record button in clips, and then you can use all of your fingers that you want to interact with stuff on clips while you talk, and it puts the text up on the screen. So I can have written instructions without ever typing a word because I'm illiterate. I can zoom in on the part where my mouse was and just track it as it went. And you can tell I'm like doing it all in real time, but the video has like a really cool look to it because of that. Then I put it on my Mac. I airdropped it back after bouncing it out. I put it into Final Cut Pro, blurred a couple of things out, and then cropped it so that it was like ultra wide. So when you scroll through my 4S GitHub project, they're just like these little slivers of a mouse copying and pasting text into a command line to demonstrate how you do it on Ubuntu, how you do it on the Mac. I think those are the only two I have on there right now. I might have done a FreeBSD one. No.
I've used, the only thing I've used the Clips app for was like to send someone a message with some little sticker shit put on it, and that's it.
Yeah, I've actually like used it as like a production tool.
Like an MMS image with stuff put over it.
That gimmicky little tool does things that a bunch of pro apps that I have don't. Like I can speak and it writes it on the screen, and I can use my fingers to do what would normally take me hours to keyframe. So I just use my fingers to pinch to zoom and stuff on live video. You just have to edit the whole thing down ahead of time, and then you can bake in your pan and scan by hand. And then you put, or you use it just on a clip, and then you send it back into Final Cut Pro, and then use the rest of your stuff in Final Cut Pro. Uh, 10.13, speaking of the Mac, it will force Apple's new file system on any flash-based Macs. So who knows what that's going to break. It could break Steam for all we know.
I don't know.
If Steam has some
type of... I think they would be ahead of that. With all
no
of
their- way! Steam breaks on almost every OS X release because they just fucking drag their feet. They still don't have Retina graphics in Steam, I think. Let me check. When was the last time you checked?
I don't know.
Let's see, I'll drag my Steam window over to... I'm on like a huge spread of screens that are non-Retina. Oh, Valve Hardware Survey. Perfect. Oh yeah, speaking of my MacBook
They want Pro. Those every month. It's like, why do they even bother?
Yeah, it's still not Retina. Fuck Valve. They're great because they have this totally neutral, practically universal runtime environment, the Steam runtime environment, which lets you make an application that can be run pretty much anywhere. But it's stuck in... 98? It's got really shitty font rendering. They hacked together their Source engine, which I guess is on version 2 for like the last 4 years. We've been talking about Source Engine 2 since we started the show. Same with Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Drink.
I just finished my beer.
I was going to have coffee for the show, but it was an unexpected dinner. So, didn't have time to make it.
The beer's better anyway. Even though I'm trying to scale back.
Did you hear about... give me something to talk about besides Apple stuff.
PAX East. Excuse me. Penny Arcade Expo. Kind of like second fiddle to E3.
Second fiddle.
Yeah, it's not very... It's not nearly as big, but still... What'll happen at that conference is that things that were supposed to be announced at E3 but got delayed or something, or like they couldn't get their shit together in time to showcase it, then they will showcase it at PAX. I think PAX East is the big one, and they I don't know, it's just new stuff, new game. It's primarily games that they showcase. I don't know, I was watching stuff you don't care about, like consoles, like Gran Turismo. That's pretty much it coming out of that. It's not really a major thing. It's kind of a slow week. There's not really much going on. I mean, the hurricane is kind of the only real big news thing. They repealed DACA, which is good. I don't know if you know what that is.
What the hell is that?
Deferred action for childhood arrivals. It was something Obama signed into law 4 years ago.
Childhood arrivals? It sounds like...
It's about immigration.
Alien contact.
Yeah. It was basically the law of the Constitution states that all laws regarding immigration have to be handled by Congress and approved by Congress. And so they tried to run it through Congress once. It failed. It didn't pass. So Obama just fucking signed it into law anyway, violated the Constitution. And so now all these people are bent out of shape because Trump is repealing it. And so now...
Your pop filter's off, isn't it?
No, it's on. I'm telling you. It's...
I heard it the other day.
The pop filter is on. I've got two... I'll take a picture if you don't believe me. It makes no fucking difference.
Then you need to wear your headphones so you can hear you popping. It's not as bad. But I just noticed that you popped.
Okay, so they... Now there's 800,000 children immigrants here that all of these people are saying, oh, now they're going to get thrown out of the country. It's like, no. Now they have 6 months for their fucking lazy ass deadbeat parents to get them into a fucking immigration office and apply for citizenship. That's all that means. They have 6 months to do that. They're not going to get thrown out. And all of these knee-jerk reaction people, oh, you know, they're going to get thrown back into poverty and they're going to go back to, you know, the terrible life they came from. And it's like, well... For people that are actual citizens in America, their life ain't too much better. You know, they're paying taxes to subsidize these people's like, basically, you know, it's hard to talk about because you can't really talk about it. If you're a white dude and you talk about this stuff, everyone automatically assumes you're racist. But it's true. The racism in itself is the way that the government panders to a certain demographic of people, and they make an exception in laws to allow them to come in. And there's all kinds of agendas at stake that want that to happen. One of them is Democrats who, you know, regularly get, you know, Hispanic votes, want them to keep coming in because they know that they're going to keep getting elected. So it's a conflict of interest for them to stop letting illegals in and begin sending them back, or at least making them go through the process of getting citizenship. The other thing is the Catholic Church isn't doing very well in the United States. They're just not doing well. Like, churches are getting shut down and stuff like that because they're not making enough money to pay for their, you know, whatever their rent is. I don't know what you would call that for church, but so they want, because, you know, Hispanics are
tithing.
They want tithing. Hispanics are very religious and they're Catholic.
You know who else wants tithing? I want tithing. Bringyourwallet.com/donate.
Yeah, we need tithes.
Tithe. Tithe to the Almighty, bringyourwallet.com.
Yeah. But no, my girlfriend's half Mexican, and she agrees with me fully because she works in the she's in psychology, and she helps, she works for a company that helps people that are autistic and stuff like that. But all of her clients, like 90% of them, are fucking, they're Mexicans. She doesn't know for sure if they're illegal, but they all have subsidized housing. They, like, 6 or 7 people living in a house that they don't pay for. It costs like $200 a month rent, and they get EBT, and they get free healthcare because hospitals can't turn them away. They have to go into the hospital, you know, whenever they get pregnant or whatever, if they're sick. The hospital has to take care of them, and they can't pay for it. And because they don't have a social security number, they can't go after them.
Right, so, here's my question.
Okay.
Is your pop filter pushed against the foam one?
Yes, it's over so it.
You're doing it wrong.
What, like, am I supposed to do?
Oh, man, the popping is actually clipping.
Okay, I'm gonna send you a picture right now of the way this fucking thing looks, okay?
So you have a wire mesh one. It's like a strainer.
No, this is the original. This is the pop filters that you gave me put over my mic. Yes. Yeah. So I thought you used over a foam.
Green one that was cutting your wrist.
I stopped using that. I cut my finger on it twice and I'm like, fuck this. I'm not using it anymore because it has sharp metal on the edges.
That's the one I thought you put back on it.
No, I'm sending you the picture of what I have right now.
You just stuck using a mic.
I just sent you a picture of it.
You can't look at the thing like you're sucking a dick, okay? You gotta turn a little to the side.
It's a fist away from my mouth. That's what your rule was.
Yeah. You gotta fist the mic, and then you gotta go a little off axis. You can't blow
into the mic. I think you just need to live with the fact that this isn't a perfect audio production every episode.
You should listen
to
some of
the podcasts I've listened to. There's podcasts with audio that is fucking garbage. Like, they're talking through Logitech headsets.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to those.
I'm just saying that they're out there, though.
I bet they're not popping.
I think the audio quality of our show overall is pretty good.
It is pretty good. I have received compliments.
No, yeah, it's pretty good despite the fact that we don't really get much.
No, we get
from
nothing.
Listeners.
Tithe, so, God damn it. Bringyourwallet.com/donate.
I don't know why this picture isn't going through. It's sitting at like 80% in the loading bar.
The tubes are clogged. It's not a big
apparently
truck.
But yeah, it's I'm just glad that we finally have, you know, despite whatever you think about the government, I'm just glad that there's finally a government that's not reactionary and is more proactive when it comes to making this stuff, basically enforcing immigration laws, the same things that you and I and everyone else has to adhere to, except for a select demographic of people.
I see your picture now.
See how it's covering the other filter?
Oh, yeah, you got foam on foam. It's doubled up. You got some powerful breath, Nate. Powerful breath.
I'm telling you, it's this chair. I have to constantly adjust because I slide down into it. And all of these big executive chairs that have high backing, they never give you enough space on the seat part. The seat part's too short. So what happens is you try and scoot up in the chair, and then you end up sliding downward because it's vinyl, whatever, fake leather, and your ass sweat makes it so that you just slide even more. And so you constantly have to push yourself up. And so, like, I just pushed myself up again. I probably am popping more now, right?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. But if I sit back... You gotta
peel your balls off the leather.
But see, now if I sit back, people pleaser. Is that popping a lot?
No.
Yeah, see, it's the distance is the problem.
You just don't know how to work your mic. Wear fucking headphones and monitor them.
I've said it since day one. The distance is the problem.
So you see that link I sent you?
Okay, Schneier.
AT&T's modem router combos all have severe backdoor problems.
Oh, they're pieces of shit, too.
Like your mic technique. They have backdoor root accounts.
Hey, my mic is 50 years old, okay?
Your mic?
The design is, yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of presidents have used them. I've heard the stories.
Yeah. 1960 whatever is when this mic was invented.
And if you notice, they're all talking off mic.
I'm about the same distance.
Four major security vulnerabilities. They actually affect all of the Aeris modems. The most severe ones do. And then the additional security problems are just the noobs at AT&T. All of their, like, whatever they did to change things, they were super practical solutions, but they weren't secure.
So even, like, my Aeris Motorola modem can be affected?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have a gateway, though. It's just a modem.
It could be just a certain line, but I'm pretty sure. If you look up...
I think they technically have IP addresses. Even if it doesn't have a gateway, the modem, because the ISP has to be able to get into it.
There should be a remote SSH session. The username's like remote SSH or something, and the password is...
No way.
Yeah.
Username, is that for AT&T?
No, for all the Aeris modems.
What?
Dig around in this article, you'll find the credentials. And then SSH in and install a mumble server on your modem. I guess you could use 4S for that. GitHub.com/4-S.
I'm not seeing the name in the article. It's a short article. The comments section.
Yeah, you'd have to dig around for the comments longer. And okay. The links. I could pull up the Security Now episode where they talk about it. But
didn't DDWRT have some exploit too a while back?
I don't know about DDWRT, but the Linksys routers. And D-Link and Netgear and all of them were fucked. They had shitty Linux distros that they were all based off of, and they all had some diagnostic, quote-unquote, diagnostic account that would activate when you port knock a certain port, and then you just log in. That seems like more work as a diagnostic port versus having a hard-coded username and password. Gotta fucking port knock something. I mean, I guess you could script it. It's kind of crazy. Apple wants to buy the James Bond distribution rights.
Oh, yeah. That, I knew there was something that I read today that I wanted to mention about Apple. That was it. Yeah, how ridiculous is that? I think Amazon's in the bidding, too.
I'm afraid that if Apple gets it, that...
It's gonna suck.
Kill it.
They're fucking.
But is it distribution rights or production?
It's like distribution. It's okay, not so production.
That's good. That would mean it was on their platform.
Yeah, but that means that the whole cinematic experience is gonna be gone. It's gonna be released on fucking Apple TV devices and stuff. If you have a Apple Music membership, it's Bond movies are Bond movies. They need to be in theaters and. I would be more confident with Amazon doing it because Amazon has experience in creating and distributing movies. Like, they won an Oscar last year for some movie that they produced.
Yeah, I don't know what it was either, but I heard that.
So in my opinion, I've always thought that Amazon did a better job at their original content than Netflix did. Netflix was good because they had a bigger selection and they had more original content, but Amazon's, I think, quality over quantity when it comes to Amazon versus Netflix. Like, Man in the High Castle is the quality of that show. The only show that I've seen even comes close to that on Netflix is Stranger Things. Stranger Things is the only Netflix series that I finished like the entire season of.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, there's not really much else that's that high quality from Netflix.
Rick and Morty, although not an original series of either network, it's really fucking good.
I haven't really watched the new season at all yet.
Oh, Pickle Rick? You haven't watched Pickle Rick?
Oh, I saw the clip promo for it. Yeah.
Oh, the whole series is more ridiculous than the last one.
Yeah. I bet you it's not more ridiculous than Ash versus Evil Dead, though.
It's approaching that level. Ash versus Evil Dead, which I've totally forgot about that series. I thought it was a movie, not a TV show.
It's based on a movie. It's like the Evil Dead movies. It's the same actor that was in those in the 80s, and so he's aged. Like, there's it actually is relevant to the chronology. It's like it's the same guy in the same reality, but set like 30 years later. So he's old and fat, but he's still missing his arm, and he like has this ability. Like, he has this interchangeable attachment, like prosthetic on his arm, so you can attach like a robotic hand or a chainsaw or. It's just ridiculous, but it's highly entertaining. The demons are called Deadites. What they do is they can possess inanimate objects, but they possess people primarily. And so they'll look normal one second, and then they'll turn their head, and then their eyes are like white, and they have like fangs, like their faces change, and they look like like monsters. And they say like corny, stupid shit, and then he blows them away with a shotgun. And there's lots of blood and lots of gore. Lots of witty it's a lot of witty one-liners.
Tell me some of the scenes that you saw. Like, you showed me one with this car that was... The car became possessed, and then it slowly lowered its tire on a guy underneath it and just slowly whittled away his face into a little puddle of... Like a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
And then it exploded.
Yep. And that's when his car got possessed. And then, the morgue scene. That scene is like one of the most disgusting, like, but hilarious scenes ever. So he gets attacked by a demon possessed colon. And it wraps around, it like has teeth, and it's like biting him, and it wraps around him, and it sucks him back up through the butthole of the corpse it came out of. And like the flaccid fucking uncircumcised dick is just hanging in front of his face as he's going in. It's got like a quarter sized silver piercing on it. It's just, man. And then the scene before, I think in the next episode after that, they're like, the scene before, they're like at a bar party, and then a bunch of Deadites come in and fuck it up and like kill a bunch of people, and they're like doing shots of it's an alcoholic drink mixed with ketamine.
What would that do to you?
It's ketamine's a sedative, so it makes you see shit. It's like a hallucinogen.
So you like see stuff and then pass out or something?
Pretty much, yeah. I forgot the name of the cocktail. It's just it's a depraved self-humiliating show. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. But it still manages to be interesting and engaging. It's on Stars. I recommend it.
trying to remember if there was anything else on Netflix that was original. You said they're going to remake Arrested Development again?
No, they're not going to remake it. It's going to be another season.
I don't know. The last one was a stretch.
It was kind of, yeah, the last season there was a drop-off in quality, for sure. The one that came out like 2 years ago on Netflix.
Yeah, that was more than 2 years, I think.
3 years?
Richard was still on the show, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, probably 3 years. It was like or maybe 4 years, like 2013 or 2014.
Yeah, it could have been four. We've been doing this a long time. Bringyourwallet.com/donate.
We've been doing this since, 2012?
Yeah.
5 years? Yeah, wow. We've been on half as long as No Agenda's been on.
Holy shit.
No Agenda's 10 years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're one of the old ones.
Yeah, but we only do one a week, though, so their formats, too. They got way more episodes, obviously.
And their stuff, it's news, so I guess it's not evergreen, but some of the topics they discuss are evergreens. I archive that show, and once they hit 1,000 episodes, I'm going to make a 1,000 episode torrent that's going to be web seeded and seeded from my super secret Dutch seed box that I host this show's torrent off of.
Super cereal?
Super secret Dutch seed box. What the hell is super cereal?
It's South Park when they make fun of Al Gore. I'm super cereal. It's talking about Man Bear Pig.
Man Bear Pig?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
The new, they're showing the new Blade Runner trailer right now on the NFL stream. It looks really fucking good.
Why is YouTube not working?
Visually, it looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm just glad they kept I'm glad they kept the same aesthetic. They kept the same cars. They didn't really change anything in the 80s. Cuz you know how Hollywood likes to they like to modernize things.
Oops. Yeah.
And they like to modernize things and fuck things up to make them more relevant. I like, cuz the director of this movie, I think he's really respectful to the original. So he's the same guy that did Arrival.
Oh. Yeah, that was good. Did you watch that?
No. I had someone kind of spoil it for me, though. I'm going to watch it eventually.
What's the point?
Just see the scenes and stuff like that and the interactions.
Yeah, who the fucking cares? Spoiled.
It's similar to... I've heard it's similar in structure to Ex Machina. Not the same ending, but similar in like how the interviewing process is and like the surprise responses and things like that. Who's the guy that directed that movie?
Cereal. I'm super cereal. I hope now you boys see that this is totally cereal. I'm trying to warn everybody and nobody takes me cereal. I just want somebody in the world to take me cereal just for once.
Does he really say that?
He says cereal. They make fun of his accent because he's from Tennessee. We're having extreme weather events. because of global warming. I'm being serious. Serious. Like, the way he says it is like, cereal. Like, cereal. I think that's what they're making funny, making fun of. Serious.
Al Gore. Thank you, Mr. Mackey. Students of South Park Elementary. I'm here to educate you about the...
Somebody dubbing.
...to our planet.
Dubbing Al Gore.
You see, there is something out there which threatens our very existence and maybe the end to the human race as we know it.
That's a ridiculous dub.
Oh, it's Man Bear Peg.
Yeah, they were going to bring that up next, I think.
Oh, man. I bet you Al Gore is like fucking like just like jacking off to these hurricanes because it's just going to support whatever narrative he's trying to push.
He's stroking it to his CTX account in Australia.
Yeah, and his $7 or $8 million mansion.
Yep.
That has no solar panels on.
Rubbing those carbon credits everywhere. Carbon trade exchange.
It's a scam.
He's calling up Leonardo DiCaprio, like, "Hey, I just made $10 million." What's that island that Clinton goes to?
Oh, with the underage hookers?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I know what it is, though.
Yeah, let's go to that island. Calls him up.
Yeah. I don't think Leonardo DiCaprio, he's a mystery because that guy, number one, he's not fat, old, and ugly like Al Gore is or Bill Clinton. So he could probably get any piece of ass he wants. And he's got infinite amount of money from his movie career. So... why would you need to make more money through this unless you're trying to like influence politics and things, which could potentially be the case?
It's a big money maker. Big money maker. It's the future.
Yeah, but why does
he going to save the U.S. economy?
Supposedly.
It's the next generation.
It's going to bankrupt the U.S. economy is what it's going to do.
Financial instrument. Just like the Dutch invented the stock market, going way back, he, along with his Dutch friends that happen to run the CTX in Australia, he and, what's this, Van der Dyke?
The Dutch historically are the biggest exploiters of people throughout human history. They invented the slave trade.
Not surprised. They
were not
financial products.
They were like, they also were, I think Netherlands was pro-Nazi Germany, too, in World War II.
We'll have to consult the Book of Knowledge on that one. They wouldn't be the only ones to flip. That's what the Russians did.
Yeah.
Although, I guess it was the other way around. I don't know. There's a new pair of headphones that use the W1 chip, the Beats Studio 3 with active noise canceling. So that's the one and only active noise canceling pair of W1 chipped phones.
Wait, say that again?
The Studio 3 is the only pair of headphones that has a W1 chip that has active noise canceling.
Studio 3.
Beats Studio 3. It's their big headphones. Their cans. Goes over the ear. And then actively noise cancels.
Okay.
I've been waiting for something like that. I thought that they could embed it into maybe the AirPods, but apparently not. So they're built into the Studio 3.
What do these cost? I don't even want to know.
They're like $350.
It's too much. I'm sorry. For Beats.
That's how much the Bose noise canceling ones are.
The Bose are going to have way better drivers in them than the Beats.
They're playing Bluetooth audio.
Doesn't matter. If they're better drivers, they're better drivers. The bit rate doesn't matter as much in that regard. That's why a lot of the people that... It's funny because a lot of people shit on Bose for being perceivably overpriced. But if you look at all of the Beats headphones and how they're constructed for the same price range, because they really, they pretty much compete with Bose on price. They, their construction, their drivers, their internals just aren't anywhere near as good as Bose's are. They just rely on gimmicks to make the sound better. And I own a pair of Beats earbuds with a W1 chip in them. And I don't get me wrong, I love them. I think they're great. But the second I put on my Bose headphones that cost about the same price, even though they're different, they're wired, the sound difference is night and day. Everything's way clearer. The bass is more subdued, but it's still good. They're just more they're more balanced.
Yeah.
The beats are just, they're gimmicky. They're good for what they are, but I only paid $119 for my Beats X, which is reasonable for a pair of of decent quality wireless earbuds with that chip in it. $350 is really expensive.
They are really expensive.
You can get like what are they called? Bang & Olufsen headphones for about the same price as those.
Starting at that.
Yeah, starting at that.
And they're not going to be noise canceling. They're just going to be a good pair of headphones. My $70 Sony MDR-V6, Mike Delta Romeo Victor 6. They're cheap. They've been around since the 80s or longer. You can swap the parts when the shitty ear foam stuff starts to flake off into black powder in your ear and your hair, and you don't notice it until somebody on the street tells you that you have black shit all over your face and you look like an idiot. You can order a new pair on Amazon because it's like a universal size, and you stretch them on like a pair of underwear and they snap into place and you're good to go. And there, you can always find the exact same sound, the same drivers,
channel,
same
Nate, pairs link to beoplay.com
of headphones. Beoplay, what is this? Bowplay, Beoplay, those are their Chinese thing.
No, these are Bang & Olufsen. These are their noise canceling. They're $500.
B&O. Why do they have BEO?
That's just their brand, the model, the Beoplay. Probably because if they put Beoplay, it would be Bowplay.
I thought, okay. I guess they couldn't do B&W and B and O.
They should have done like B-Oplay. But then that represents BO, like body odor.
Those are cool looking headphones.
Yeah, they look nice in that bucks. Tan color. I think that's real leather on the band at the top, too.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. Maybe just on the top.
I wouldn't
either.
Like
around the ears, I wouldn't be surprised. Because I've paid hundreds of dollars for headphones, and they just have like really cheap parts. Same with anything in the audio industry. Like, you can buy a Heil PR40 and spend $125 on a boom arm, and then it uses these big fat microphone mounts. They're like really loose, nothing's fitted, and then you screw in this big peg onto the side to hold the mic in place through just friction. It's barbaric. When you compare that to like a modern, like the most modern connector, the USB Type C connector that I use for my MacBook, it locks into place. It has this little delicate click sound. It sounds like I'm going to break something on the inside, really. Like, I'm always afraid that if I tweak the thing, I'll just snap that thin little ribbon on the inside. But it plugs in right either way. It snaps in with a nice affirmative clicking sound and unclicking sound when you pull it out. Compared to XLR.
Oh, man. It's like a jiggly fucking, this not seated.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of loose connectors and a cable about as thick as your pinky. Yeah. All for three fucking copper wires.
Yeah.
They make a mini one, too. That actually looks pretty cool. People use them for, like, lav mics you'd hook up for video recording. So before we recorded the show, I picked up my MacBook Pro because I was moving it, and it felt old. It felt thick. our laptops, 2012, 2013, that era, they're not thick. They're pretty thin. But I've been holding my MacBook for so long that my MacBook Pro felt like a fucking boat anchor. And as thick as one.
Well, it's, what is it? It's almost twice as heavy too, isn't it?
But because I've used my computer just like a couple of days, I'm conditioned to the thinness and lightness of it.
Hmm.
So everything else just feels old. It's a weird effect.
Oh yeah, Monoprice now sells 144 hertz IPS monitors. They're cheap too. They're like $300.
I would rather have a nice big Retina display.
It won't be $300, and it won't be 144 hertz.
Nope. There's not enough bandwidth for that, unfortunately. Someday, when you can push 8K at 60 hertz, you'll be able to do like 4K at 150 or something, 160. Probably 140. 120? Yeah, 120, multiple of 60. The 144 thing's weird.
Yeah.
What, half of that would be 72?
Yeah, and they have 240 hertz, too. 240 hertz is... I think that's only on TVs, though, and I don't know... I can't really tell that much of a difference from 120.
I don't think it's actually doing 240, though.
No, it's probably not.
Like, maybe it's 240 interpolated? I'll have to look into that. I mean, I guess there might be enough bandwidth to do 240 at 1080p. Can you buy LCDs, like computer screens that do that? Or just TVs?
Just TVs, but I think it doesn't matter at that point about bandwidth, because they usually have onboard hardware that it doesn't need to transmit that over a cable, like it was coming from a secondary device, like a Roku or whatever. So it can just do the broadcasts. Like if it's, let's say you've got a built-in Roku app or something like that on your TV, which most smart TVs do now, or Fire TV or whatever, the 4K content you can push in at 120 hertz on those, but you wouldn't be able to do 4K 120 hertz over a HDMI, because I think you would need, because the HDMI, the spec right now is limited to 60 hertz. It won't go any higher than that,
and it won't do frame sync or anything like that.
Yeah, that's why it's like, I, these people that like, you know, I'm sure you've heard of like the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, how they're going to do 4K output. Well, if you have a smart TV and it's a decent quality one, chances are it's already upscaling 1080p to 4K. So it's offloading whatever work the I know it's not going to look as sharp or as good, but when you're sitting 10 feet away, you're not going to tell the difference.
That's not the same thing.
It's not the same, but there's a processor in the TV that has to upsample that image and to 4K. So otherwise, yeah, it'll look like shit.
Is not the same as rendering at 4K.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when you're using a console, you're not going to really see that much of a difference, because it's not running at true 4K anyway. It's taking 1080 and then it's scaling it up on the fly to 4K, and it's rendering certain parts of the environment that whatever game you're playing. You know, if you're playing a racing game, everything in the background is being rendered probably in 4K before what's in the foreground to save bandwidth.
You just point right into that microphone and just plosive the shit out of it. I think it's upsampling in the sense that when you emulate a game, you can render an N64 game at 1080, but it's still a shitty poly count and all that.
No, I think the poly count's high. They do a pretty good job with the textures and stuff like that. It's the aliasing is the problem. Like, I've seen some next-gen PS... Like, the PS4 is already a 4-year-old console. And some of the games that I've seen coming out in like the next 2 years, and even some of the ones I've already been playing, look way better. Like texture wise, look way better than anything I've played on PC recently. Where it's obvious that it's not as good is number one, the frame rate, because they have to basically, everything fluctuates between 30 and 60 FPS. It never hits 60, really. It'll like hit 59. And
really?
Then, yeah, it's even on the PS4 Pro, they have trouble hitting six, even at 1080p, they have trouble still hitting 60 FPS.
I thought they just dynamically changed the rendering. So it's still outputting a 1080p to screen, but it changes the render resolution to 50%. So it just becomes pixelated.
Not pixelated. It's just there's maybe the backgrounds are pixelated, but the aliasing is the biggest thing that catches your eye when you're playing console games on the newest gen stuff, because it's even the shadows are like aliased. It's pretty obvious, but the textures and the lighting, the shaders, everything looks really good otherwise. I think they're starting to get to the point where, aside from performance, like they're getting close. Like consoles are getting close to the visual fidelity of what you can do on a PC. It's just the performance is going to be the difference. The PC is always going to perform. The PC is always going to run everything better looking the same as the stuff on the console. That's never going to change.
And you can load up a 25 gig, a game that requires 25 gigs of RAM, like Batman, stored all in RAM.
What is that, Arkham Knight?
Yeah.
That game. That is the most highly modified Unreal 3 Engine game, and it had so many problems at launch. I got it, because I got it for free with my GTX 970 when I bought it a couple years ago, and the game was in an unplayable state for like 6 months.
Yeah, I remember you complaining about it.
And they gave everyone, they basically, in your Steam library, they gave everyone the whole anthology of all the Batman Arkham games for free with all of the DLC. So I've got like 5 Batman games in my Steam library now that I've never played. I played the original one, the original Arkham, Arkham Asylum, but I didn't play... Actually, no, I played a little bit of Arkham City, but I didn't play Arkham Origins, and I didn't play Return to Arkham. So I played Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and then the latest one, Arkham Knight.
Now that you hate this game, here's 5 more versions of it.
I didn't hate it. The game itself is good. It's just the development team is incompetent. Rocksteady or whatever. They don't make those games anymore, I think. I think that was the last one. They learned their lesson.
That company doesn't make those type of games, or those type of games are no longer made?
The Arkham franchise is done for the last game. I think Batman retires at the end of it or something.
Oh yeah, I got my pad.
Your pad?
Yeah, for my ass. My purple cushion.
How is that thing?
My ass feels better.
How soft is it?
I'm having trouble describing it because it's got like the... It's made of like this rubbery stuff that's in a bunch of... Like it's in a grid. And when you sit on it, parts of it collapse. So you can like put your foot under your ass and sit on it, and your foot just gets absorbed by the cushion. So if you needed like a bigger fat cushion that was over 16 inches wide, you could get the really expensive cushion from these guys, and that would probably help you. And then if you have like a big fat wallet and you sit on this thing, it's going to totally get absorbed by the grid that kind of folds over to make room for you. I like it more than the other cushions that I have, which are foam, because when you sit on those, they collapse and then they slowly leak air until they're flat and not squishy anymore. The difference between that and this is this purple royal cushion. That's the name. It's always springy. So no matter what, no matter how long I've been sitting on it, it didn't really absorb heat. I mean, it gets warm, but it doesn't really absorb the heat because it's fucking rubber. And it's always the same springiness, even if I've sat on it all day, because it's the grid pattern that's really holding you up, and the fact that there's like two layers of it. So you'll sit, collapse through, like the bony parts of your butt will collapse through the first part of that grid, and then you're kind of suspended in the next part. And any additional shit in your pockets kind of pushes into that. I'm still trying to figure out how to describe it compared to another cushion. The best thing I can say about it is it never gets flat feeling.
Next time we have a land, just bring that over with you, and then I'll have to try sitting on it. Because I'm interested in those. I'd like to get one if it's actually going to help my back issues.
That's debatable. I don't know.
Does it have like a, on the bottom of it, does it have like an anti-slick surface so that it doesn't skip around in your chair?
Yeah. It actually came in a sack so that I'm not sitting right on the rubber, which would be kind of weird and sticky feeling.
Right.
This thing is like basically a giant melted down dildo into a grid. And it wiggles, and it's in this zipper black bag thing. It's heavy, surprisingly heavy, and it's got a little handle. But as soon as you pick the thing up, it just kind of collapses into this big rubbery thing. It looks weird if you're carrying that around. It's not quite...
Is it like really floppy? Is it like if
it's
you...
floppy. It's like okay. The dildos are on Idiocracy. Like the big dildo that was stuck to the front of the car.
Okay, yeah.
That wasn't the dildozer. That was whatever that car was called. Anyway, it's just as wobbly as that. Like, you can't pick the thing up and have it stand up straight. It just falls over limp in your hands.
I just did a Google search for dildozer, and there's a... in Saints Row 4, there's a dildozer tank. It's got a giant, hard, black, phallic cannon on it.
Oh, and then there's a very familiar avatar. The dildozer avatar.
Oh, yeah. It's like a tractor with a dildo on the front of it.
Yeah. All right. Let's call it.
Okay.
Maybe on some noobs. I probably won't be able to. Bringyourwallet.com/donate. Bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. Definitely check out the state-of-the-art Web 3.0 technology on the website. You'll never believe what happens when you click that donate button. See you next week.
Sayonara.